Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
There's 13, great crowd tonight, by the way, on this pre-Christmas Eve. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and I shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me. And they shall say to me, What is his name? And what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now in the Old Testament, God speaks to Moses and says, I am that I am. In the New Testament, Jehovah in flesh, Jesus, comes along and he starts putting some predicate nominatives to describe who that I am is. Our subtitle in this series is He Is, I Believe, and I Receive. Turn to your neighbor and tell him the I am is in the room. You may be seated. The greatness of God cannot be ignored, trivialized, or discounted. I have enough pettiness in me, church, that I just love Christmas for so many reasons. But one of the reasons I love is that all the atheists have to celebrate it. I've never met an atheist that's turning down gifts. You say, what does that mean? They're participating in Jesus' birthday party. I've never met an atheist that when their boss said, hey, for Christmas, we're going to go ahead and take Friday and Saturday off. Never met an atheist that said, oh, no, please, Mr. Boss Man, I got to work because I don't believe in that Jesus. They take those days just like those of you that didn't like the last president or this president took those stimulus checks. If it's a day off or a check, I'm taking it, praise God. I love Christmas time because everyone pauses. Especially in the Western world, everyone pauses to at least nod that Jesus came to this earth. So it cannot be ignored. It can't be trivialized, which means it cannot be made smaller than it really is. Don't let anybody discount or trivialize the fact that Jesus came to this earth, and don't let them trivialize the fact that He was born in a manger because we know the manger was the starting place, but it was not the finish line. The finish line is so great that it's the reason why we celebrate the birth of, because His birth is great because of what He grew up to be. The fact that Jesus came to this earth is still, for me, I've been walking with God for 21 years, it's still mind-boggling that God loved the world so much that He would put Himself on this earth in flesh and go through everything. He went through His family disowning Him. He went through God the Father turning His back on Him at the cross. He went through His best friends on this earth turning their back and denying Him, and one of them putting a knife right between His shoulder blades. He went through everything that He went through because He loves us. Oh, what a God. We can't say I am anything until we know the I am. You can't say I am healed unless you know the I am. Can't say I am wealthy unless you know the I am. You can't say I am delivered if you use that phrase, I am, and then make a faith declaration. It has to be made from the premise that I know the I am that makes it possible for me to stand here and all of my insecurities and all of my liabilities and all of my shortcomings and weakness, and I can still say I am strong. The Bible says the weak can say. Why? Because I know the I am. Jesus spent a lot of the time of three and a half years of His ministry not defining what He was doing, but defining who He was. Most of the time, Jesus is talking to His disciples, the 12 that left everything to follow Him, and they're really not talking about the next crusade and all of the miracles that Jesus would do. But He finds Himself in those moments with the 12 talking about who He is. Why? Because if you know what He does, you might never find out who He is. But if you find out who He is, you will automatically know what He does and what He's capable of. So the last few sessions, we've talked about I am the bread of life. All of these are found in the Gospel of John. Jehovah said, I am the I am. Jesus comes along and says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the door. the article "the" in this in these eight or these 7 points is important because it means there's no other option. There is no other bread that will fill you. There is no other door that you can go through that will take you to the place that you need to go. He said, "I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life." There's no other resurrection. There is no other life outside of Jesus. If you can do it without Jesus, it's not worth doing. Let me say that again. If you can do it without Jesus, it's not worth doing. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And the sixth one, he said, "I am the vine," which is where we left off last session. "I am the vine." He said, connect to me, stay connected to me, because when you stay connected to me, the things that you need to produce, you will produce. You will produce good fruit, fruit that will have seed to produce more fruit, and fruit that will remain. You say, this doesn't really sound like a Christmas sermon. It's about to take a Christmas turn, because as Jesus shows up 2,000 years ago, a lot of people missed this Jesus because they thought he was going to come on the scene as a king. They thought he was going to be heralded and be marched through the streets. But Jesus is born in a little town called Bethlehem. Can I encourage you, church, this Christmas season, don't miss it, because sometimes Jesus shows up in places that you never think he would show up. Sometimes Jesus shows up in the most minuscule, the most different places that you think there's no way a king would be born in that city, let alone in that city in a manger on the backside of a lot on the other side of Bethlehem. He was born in the most unlikely place in the most unlikely city. This Christmas season, Jesus might not be born in the way that you think he should or will, but he might be born in the most obscure place in your life. But if I could encourage you, keep looking, because if you seek him, as I said on Sunday, you will find him. Jesus says, the seventh I am the light of the world. The context in which he speaks, he has this conversation with his disciples, his followers, the crowd. This is not a one-on-one, conversation or dialogue. This is not even with just fellow believers and disciples. He has this conversation in front of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, his disciples, his family. A crowd of people have gathered around, and Jesus is teaching. And right when he begins to talk about that he is the light of the world, before he can get that statement out, a woman is caught in the act of adultery, and she is thrown with nothing but the sheets of the bed of her adultery wrapping her. And the Pharisees are quoting the Bible. They're quoting the word to the word. Doesn't it say in the Pentateuch, the first five, doesn't it say in the law of Moses that we are to kill this woman and to stone her? And of course, we know that Jesus, he not only forgives her, but he makes sure that everybody that is coming at her, he says something and does something that sends the crowds away. Can I encourage you? Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Doesn't matter what mistakes you've made. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Doesn't matter what you were caught doing last week. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let Jesus take care of the crowds, and then Jesus will take care of your conversion. You don't have to answer to them. You answer to him. She looks up, and all of her accusers are gone. And Jesus says, "I forgive you. Go and do not sin again." Why is that context important? Because how can Jesus send this woman who he has just forgiven back out into a dark world and expect her never to sin again? Because sometimes we sin on purpose. Sometimes we sin on accident. Sometimes we sin because that's who we are. We're flesh, and we're fighting flesh every day of our lives. If you're sitting here today and you said, "Since I gave my life to Jesus Christ, unless it was 2 seconds ago, you've sinned since then." If you didn't know you sinned since then, you better start repenting right now. You say, "Well, I repented." You repented for what you did. Let me just help somebody in this house. every day of my life, I'm saying, God, if there's anything in me that is not of you, take it away. If I responded in a way, if I did a certain thing, if there's thoughts that aren't from you, God, whether I did them on purpose or not, I don't want to be tied to those things. So God, Lord, I want your forgiveness. Repentance is not a bitter pill to swallow. Repentance is so good to the soul and spirit of a believer. I'm sorry takes the pressures of this world. So I want to encourage you, before we can get to the manger, before we can get to celebrating Christmas in a couple days, right where you are today as a believer, you can say, God, forgive me of all that I've done. I hope you did that during communion as we were talking about the blood and the body. That's the context. She leaves having met the light, and now she lives in the light. I love what Jesus is saying. Jesus says, you're forgiven, meaning I brought you out of darkness. You met the light. I am the light of the world. You now have the light, so go and live in the light. Can I encourage us as believers to live in the light that is Jesus Christ? The lights do not shine just brightly on Wednesday nights and Sunday morning. You have access to the light that is Jesus Christ every day of your life. But a lot of us don't like that light because we're doing things Monday through Friday that we don't want other people to see, or we don't think God can see, and so we go back into the dark. And we step into the light on Sunday, we step into the dark on Monday. We step into the light on Wednesday, we step in the dark on Thursday. He said, I am the light of the world. When Jesus spoke again, this is chapter 8, verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. When he spoke again to the people, the first time he was speaking, he was talking to the adulterous woman. He said, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. One of the greatest things about Christmas is the darkness was lit up. A dark world. Before Jesus came, for those of you that have been to Bible school or maybe looked at little theology, between Malachi and Matthew, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was 400 years where God did not speak. They call it the silent years. If God's not speaking, not only are those silent years, they're dark years. And the first thing that they hear is the Savior of the world crying on a cold, crisp night in Bethlehem. And little did the world know, but Jesus flipped on the switch that would never be extinguished again. And I don't care how dark the world gets, listen to this, church. The darker they get, the brighter the light of Jesus shines. I'm not scared. Shame on the White House for sending out a message saying, for the unvaccinated, you need to get ready to die and bury your children. There's no rooms for you in the hospital. This is not an unvaccinated or a vaccinated statement, but I'm here to tell you, White House, you can speak all that darkness you want, but you know what I've got? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. I've got a light that shines brighter than any darkness you can speak or any darkness that is around me. I carry the lamp that is Jesus Christ. In John 8, when he said, I am the light of the world, he said that 2,000 years ago. But in July of 1999, I stepped in that light. And I'm here to tell you that the last 21 years of my life, I've not stepped out of that light. I have walked in that light. It's not a decision, do I have to live with it and live without it? It is a decision that once I get in it, why would I ever go back to the darkness that I found in the world? Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Following Jesus allows us to live in a place of perpetual light. Some of us have fallen into darkness. Fear lives in darkness. In the light, there is no fear. We stumble and fall in darkness. But in the light, in big L, the light that is Jesus, we walk out the steps that are ordered by the Lord. We've been in this building 16 years. I know most of this building like the back of my hand. I don't need the lights on to go in most places, but a few years ago, there's a long hallway right behind, on the second story, right behind this wall. And I was walking in that hallway, and I just started running. The lights weren't on. It was pitch black in that hallway, and I forgot that that hallway made a little curve. And I ran right into the wall. Two reasons I did. I was dumb enough not to flip on the switch that I walked by. But secondly, I trusted myself. When we trust ourselves, we're saying we don't need the light. We know where we're going. We know what we're doing. We know how it's going to end. I'm here to tell you, sometimes in your life, the devil's going to get you so twisted and turned around, you're not going to know which way is up, which way is down, which way is left, which way is right. First of all, when you see the switch, you need to flip on the switch. You need to break the switch so that it can never be flipped off again, so you can always be walking in the light. But if I can encourage you, moving into 2022, you cannot trust yourself. You have to put your faith in Jesus. I'm not smart enough. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how to order my steps, but the one who does has, and if we live in the light, we will walk out those steps. We make questionable decisions in the dark. As teenagers, you went behind the school to do things, not in the front. Always enshrouded by darkness because you didn't want anyone to see. I've got bad news for you. Even if no one saw, God saw, and God is wanting to shine into your life. And what is done in darkness always comes to light. When Jesus was born, he did not just light up the darkness. I love this. He eradicated darkness. He didn't just light up darkness. He dominated the darkness. Darkness, you can't have a little light or a little darkness. It's either light or it's dark. You say, no, that's not true. No, talking about Jesus, it's true. You can't have a little bit of Jesus. Let me tell you something. A little bit of Jesus will mess you up. Because a little bit of Jesus robs you of all the fun you used to have in the club. A little bit of Jesus, when you go to that street corner, you're slinging dope, it's no longer as fun as it used to be. Why? Because you got enough Jesus that you know the Holy Spirit's saying, this is not the place you should be. These are not people of light. God is not in this. God is not right here. You need to turn around. But I'm here to tell you, when you get Jesus in your life, it eradicates the darkness. Darkness is no longer an option. Darkness is no longer a part of your life. And so when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he eradicated darkness. The opposite of light is darkness. It cannot be light if it's dark. It cannot be dark if it's light. And so for us as believers, when Jesus showed up, the light showed up, and it doesn't ever have to be dark again. Some former members of this church were stationed in Alaska, and I said, what's the craziest thing in Alaska? They said, the craziest thing in Alaska is when at certain times of the year, it never gets light. It's always dark. For days on end because of the axis of the earth of that particular season. But on the contrary, they said, what's even harder to get used to is when it never gets dark. It messes with your body because your body is used to having times of light and dark. Can I make it spiritual for a minute? Your flesh is used to there being some light and some dark. You know what kills your flesh? Light. When you live in the light, it kills your flesh. Why do you lather up all that suntan lotion and sunblock? And I need SPF 500, and I need this, and I need that. And you're rubbing it all. Why? Because too much exposure to the light changes who you are, changes your body. Too much exposure to the light of Jesus will not change you. It will transform you. You will not be the same. That's why we say, come Sunday, come Wednesday. If you've got kids, put them in children's church. Bring them Sunday morning. Bring them Saturday night. Why? Because we're trying to get your kids so exposed to the light of Jesus. But by the time they're 18, they are so full of the light that the university can't put darkness on them. That college campuses can't put darkness in them. I'm here to tell you, once you're exposed to the light, it should change everything. Turn to your neighbor and tell them the light. When Jesus was born, he eradicated darkness. Verse 13, the Pharisees challenged him. There's always going to be some over-spiritual religious person. They challenge Jesus. Here you are appearing as your own witness. I love that. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. When you have the light, people of God, you know where you came from and you know where you're going. What happens in darkness is you lose your sense of direction. And if you live in darkness all of the time or some of the time, you're going to make a wrong turn. But for believers like us on a Wednesday night, for believers like us that live this every day of our lives, we live in the light, which means I know where I've come from and I don't want to go back there again, but I also know where I'm going. And there's not a chance I'm going to dim the light, flip off the light, or step back into darkness. Why? Because my future's on the line, my marriage is on the line, my family's on the line, my destiny is on the line. Said, I know where I've come from, I know where I'm going, but you have no idea where you came from nor where you're going. The Pharisees could see the light but refused to live and follow the light, which is dangerous. Seeing the light but not living in the light is dangerous. Seeing the light are the religious people that love to tell you things like, Jesus don't heal anymore. You can't be filled with the Holy Ghost anymore. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to go to church. That once you get saved, that's all there is to it. And God knows your heart. Those are all people that can see the light. Jesus said there's a danger in seeing something that you never experience. Living Way. Can I just tell you, beware of coming to Living Way and watching someone. Watching someone praise. Watching someone worship. Watching someone give. Watching someone serve. In just a few moments, watching someone else come to the altar when God's saying, hey, don't worry about them. I'm shining the light on you right now. I need to get this light just not on you, but in you. I need you to become a lantern that carries this light, but you've grown too comfortable being around the light without living in the light. They could see it, but they didn't want to live in it. Darkness never understands the light. Where you come from and where you're going is settled in the light. Your direction is settled in the light. People who live in darkness have no direction. Can I just encourage you, one of your promises, covenants, New Year's resolutions this week or this year, talking to those of you online as well, one of your New Year's resolutions is you need to get away from people that have no direction. Because if one blind man falls in the ditch, it's going to lead the other blind. You better watch who you're connected with, because we got a lot of people that have no direction that say they know the light. I don't know. I don't need to know, do you know the light? I need to know, do you have the light? Because if you have the light, then he has ordered your steps. And David said it like this. He said, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you don't have the light, if you don't have the word of God in you, if you don't have the spirit of God in you, then how can you know where to go? You might think you have direction, but I'm not basing my life on what you think and what you hope. I'm basing my life on what I know. And if you don't know the light, then you need to take yourself over there, or I need to take myself over here, because I can't afford my destiny to be derailed by darkness and people with no direction. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. If you have no direction, then you'll have no dominion. God uses direction to take us to a place of dominion. Without light, you live in darkness. Darkness robs you of direction. And without direction, you never hit your destination, which is dominion. So we're a New Testament church. I've said that. And if you've seen just over these last few weeks, We are getting back to our soul history. It's about souls. It's about leading people to Jesus Christ. It's about making believers understand the authority and dominion. And as a New Testament church, I need to remind you, you have dominion. You have authority over the adversary, over this world. You don't have to take what the world says. You don't have to say what the doctor says. He might tell you one thing, and you can say, Doc, thank you for doing your job, but you can declare, nope, that is not me. I don't receive that. I am the righteousness of God. Which means I'm healed. I'm dominion. Dominion doesn't happen by accident. You're directed to the place of dominion, and that does not happen in darkness. I love what Jesus said. You talk about two witnesses. He said, I am the witness along with my Father which is in heaven. He said, you're talking to the light about light. I am the light. This world is growing dark. I try to stay off the news as much as I can, but I found myself watching about 45 minutes of world news, and I just sat there shaking my head. Now, my faith is such that it didn't injure me, but my spirit is such to say, hey, quit watching this. This does nothing for your calling, for your anointing. All it does is helps you focus your prayer a little bit, but I got news for you. I pray for the world anyway because I know it's broke and messed up and dark without having to watch the news. But it's getting darker every day. This sexual identity is turning into things that are getting even crazier. Now the thing on the table is not just gender and sexual identity and identifying as this or that, but it's identifying different ages, which is going to lead into pedophilia. See, the Bible tells us that the enemy is subtle. He doesn't bring all that at once. He just keeps bringing a little darkness. Just brings a little darkness until you wake up and you forgot that the light of Jesus is in me. Matthew 14, verse 15 and 16, stand on your feet. Jesus says in John 8, I am the light of the world. There are seven of these I am's that we've covered these last few sessions. I am, I am, I am. I'm the bread of life, the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and life. I am the good shepherd. He says, I am, I am, I am. This is the only one that he says, I am the light of the world. And in Matthew 5, he turns to his believers and he says, you are the light of the world. It's the only I am that he says, once you have me, you become what I am. I am the light, but in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do you light a lampstand and put it under a basket or a bushel, but instead you put it on a lampstand that it may give light to everyone in the house. The same you do so that men will see your good deeds, see that light, and praise your Father or give glory to your Father in heaven. This is what Jesus is saying. He said, too many of you love to talk about the light, whisper the light, showcase that light at home, but when we go to work, we put a cover over that light. We hear people talking about their crazy divorce. We don't offer them the light. We hear people talking about what their children are going through. We don't offer them the light. We sense that spirit of depression and darkness. We don't offer them the light. But Jesus said, hey, I'm the light. And if you're a believer and a follower of me, you never walk in darkness. You're always in the light. You have the light. You're the light of the world. If I could get this church one message for the last 9 days before we enter 2022, we need this church to be the light. But you cannot give something you don't have. Some of us have lived in darkness for too long, knowing where the light is. Some of us have lived in dark rooms too long because we are too lazy to change the bulb or get up and flip on the switch. Maybe your life is dark because you want it to be dark. Maybe you've fallen in love with the dark because there's no responsibility. You do what you want to do and no one sees it. I want to tell you, God sees it. The disappointment that God has, it might be there, but God's always telling you, just flip the switch one more time. Let me illuminate who you are. The first thing, church, that God's going to do when he illuminates the life and all of your problems are exposed, he's going to heal. He's going to deliver. He's going to fix. He's going to put back the broken pieces. But you got to be able to stand there and say, God, light the room. I'm ready for your light. This is what I want us to do. I was supposed to originally preach this one on the first week of this series, and I didn't get to it. I'm glad I didn't, because I put it tonight because it's our candlelight service. 2,000 years ago, the candle in the manger was lit. The world has forever been trying to blow that candle out, but it shines brighter today. You know why it shines brighter? Because now it's no longer in one little baby. Now it's in you, and it's in me, and the great church that God is raising up in China, millions of our Chinese Christians, that light is shining. Russia's having revival. South America and a lot of the Latin countries, listen, more percentages of them are filled with the Holy Ghost than are not in some cases. The light is being illuminated. The devil should have snuffed it out when King Herod was trying to kill the one light. But now that light has been duplicated and replicated and shared around the world. But I want to encourage somebody in this house today to grab your candle that they handed you today, and I want you to walk down this aisle. We're going to light that candle. This is the first. If God.